This is Michael Easter. A quick note that if you're hearing this, you are not a member of 2%. Here's what that means. You'll be able to listen to the full episode of any of our podcasts that are published on Monday for free. Totally free. So enjoy. But you'll only get a preview of our episodes that are published on Wednesdays and Fridays. So if you want to become a member and get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes, please become a member at twopct.com. Thanks, and enjoy the episode. Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is May 15th, another wonderful day to be alive. Today's episode is 5 Simple Health Rules. So we're going to cover 5 simple health rules that you may have heard. They're very popular in the health sphere. And we're going to talk about why rules like this that we're going to cover often work and why they can improve your health, your nutrition, your exercise routine, but why they often work for reasons that we don't really realize. We often get the reason why these rules work totally wrong. So we're going to explain some of the benefits of each rule, and then we're going to dive into the nuance of why each one works. Because the result, if you know that, you can arm yourself with smarter tactics so you can get the results you want with more freedom. Okay, let's dive into the episode. I was recently on the digital void called Twitter/X, and I came across a post from a dietitian, and he was basically showing how obesity began to rise when the snack food industry took off around 1970. The takeaway that this guy was trying to make is that if people just didn't snack, then the obesity rate in the United States would be lower than its current 40%. Now, my friend Trevor Cashy likes to say that a lot of the advice we hear around health, a lot of the rules, are 99% right and 100% wrong. So this guy was right in the sense that, yes, if no one snacked, we'd probably weigh less. And the people who follow his advice and stop snacking, they will probably lose weight. But here is the 100% wrong part. If we ate less of any meal, we would probably all weigh less. Obesity is very complex, but it is largely driven by how much food we eat overall. So snacking, yes, it contributes to obesity, but it is not the single cause. And there is a lot of this 99% right, 100% wrong advice that is floating out among the internet. You've probably followed it at one point in your life. I have definitely followed it at some points in my life. And the advice does often work, but it works on accident. It doesn't work for the reasons that we often think or are told. So these simple health rules that we're going to cover here in a moment, they have benefits. All simple rules around health usually have some benefit. And one of the main benefits is that they simplify complex issues into actionable rules that eliminate analysis. So in the daily trenches of life, having a simple rule, it allows you to make a decision really quickly. You don't have to think. You don't have to analyze. And thinking and analyzing, it takes a lot of cognitive load. Some people just want to know, tell me what rule I should follow is, so they can make a simple decision. But when you have these sort of hard and fast rules, they leave out a lot of the nuance, and they can also become constraining because you're believing this rule that is 99% right, 100% wrong, and you are acting accordingly, and that can kind of constrain your life over time, and you have a lot more optionality than you might think. So today, we are diving into 5 simple health rules that work. We're going to explain why they're 99% right and 100% wrong. That is to say, we're going to explain why they're useful and where they lack nuance. Learning the nuance is going to help you use these rules on purpose and with purpose. The result, you'll learn the bigger why, and you will make wiser decisions that help you reach your goals faster and with less headache. So let's roll. Rule number 1, do not eat after 6 or 7 p.m. So this rule became popular in diet culture in the 2000s. Might have been before, but I really started to notice it a lot in the 2000s. The argument was that your body processes food differently at night, so the food you eat at night is more likely to become fat. That was the argument that people were making. Now, here's why this rule is helpful. So with each of these rules, we're going to first explain why it's helpful, and then we're going to get into the nuance. So with rule one, here's why it's helpful. If you are anything like me, you are not eating a few sticks of celery after dinner. You're eating a few sticks of a Twix bar. You're raiding the pantry for random handfuls of junk food, of candy, of kid cereal. And kid cereal, by the way, that is my vice. That is what I am raiding the pantry for. So this is all to say that when we eat after dinner, we are usually eating junk food. So this post-dinner period, it's almost like the golden hour of junk eating. And even just a handful of candy, it can pack in hundreds of calories. So here is a more nuanced way to look at this. Here's the nuance. The idea that your body treats food differently between 6 p.m. and midnight, first of all, that is not correct. Your body uses food basically the same regardless of the time. But that doesn't mean the rule isn't helpful. By setting a rule that you won't eat after 6 or 7 p.m., you're sort of cutting out that junk food golden hour. And therefore, you are eating less junk. That removes a bunch of calories from your day of eating, and it makes you more likely to lose weight, or at least to not gain it. Now, some people also find that not eating before bed, it helps them sleep better. This is often due to acid reflux issues. If you stop eating early and then you sleep better, that can lead to various health improvements, one of which is making better food decisions the next day. So, TLDR, if you eat a bunch of snacks at night, this rule could definitely help you. But it probably won't help you if you don't overeat across the day, no matter when you eat. Rule number two, don't do burpees. So this one became popular after CrossFit popularized the burpee exercise. Here is why it is helpful. Burpees are a rather technical exercise. They put your wrist in a vulnerable position. They put a lot of stress on a weak part of your shoulders. And plus, you're doing them repeatedly at a hard and fast pace, increasing the likelihood that you will encounter problems. So, if you ban burpees altogether, if you say, no burpees, ever, you lessen your risk of injury. Now, the athletic training legend, Mike Boyle, who I'm a huge fan of, he had a really good take on the topic of burpees. And let me say, he is not a fan of burpees. He said this, and by the way, I'm quoting here, quote, the number one thing I think people should be doing is asking themselves, why do you do a burpee? What is this exercise doing for you? If you're doing it because you want the lower body jump challenge from jumping back up at the end, then just do jump exercises like a jump squat. If you're doing it for the upper body challenge of the push-up, just do push-ups. If you're doing it for the cardiovascular challenge, there are a million interval training protocols a trainer can give you that can make you just as tired. End quote. Now here's the nuance on this. If you want to continue listening to this episode, please become a member of 2% with Michael Easter. Go to TWOPCT.com. Once you become a member, you'll get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes. Plus, you'll get the newsletter, which releases the most useful and practical health, performance, and mindset information online 3 times each week. Thanks.